I suppose we would agree that from what we know about John the Baptist, we would conclude that he wasn't extremely colorful. But I'll tell you what, he was certainly fearless. We can learn much from this dedicated life. Having completed his conversation with Nicodemus, as recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 3, our Lord left the capital city of Jerusalem to go out into the rural areas, where he began his public ministry of teaching and preaching. I read in verse 22, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." Now, Christ did not do the actual baptizing, but left this phase of his ministry to his disciples. We read in John 4, verse 2, "Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples." That is, his disciples did the baptizing. Obviously, this was not a baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but rather a baptism in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, administered to those who followed him. It would seem that after Jesus appeared on the scene, even John the Baptist, in his baptism of repentance, began baptizing in the name of Christ. In verse 23, we read, "John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." Baptism being performed by our Lord's disciples and John the Baptist was not the most important part of their ministry. Baptism presupposed belief. Outward ceremonies cannot cleanse from inward wickedness. Well, the same is true in our day. Baptism is not a substitute for conversion. It should follow conversion, but never precede it. Verse 24 says that John the Baptist was not yet cast into prison. Recall the incident surrounding John's arrest. Herod had regard for John's faithful ministry, but John could not overlook Herod's sinfulness, living in adultery with Herodias, his own brother's wife. Everyone seemed to be afraid of Herod, but when the opportunity came, John the Baptist spoke out boldly to his face, declaring, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." Herod's anger was aroused, and he had John arrested. Because of the satanic desire of Herodias, John the Baptist was martyred. There's need today for men and women like John the Baptist, who will unflinchingly stand for God. Repeatedly, the Lord pleads with us in his word to get on one side or the other, but not to stay in the middle. I read in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, where God says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Does lukewarm describe your Christian experience? If so, once and for all, declare with Thomas of old, "My Lord and my God." Let the Lord Jesus become the master of your life. As John the Baptist fulfilled his ministry, a problem developed. There arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." The question about purifying seemed to be over whose baptism was more effective, John's or Christ's. This created a disturbing difficulty in the hearts of John's disciples. The disciples of John were jealous because Christ was getting more followers than John. Even some of John's most faithful followers were leaving him to be with Christ. The same danger confronts many Christian workers in our day, the sin of jealousy. One would not expect believers proclaiming the same Christ to be jealous of each other, but often they are. The Bible says wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? All of us have experienced the horrible effects resultant from anger, but God tells us that envy is even worse. I believe it is one of the most destructive sins within the church today. At the same time, it is one of the evils most of us would say the least about. We know we are guilty, but we refuse to claim victory through Christ. In reply to the complaint of the disciples, John the Baptist was his usual humble self. He answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." He had a specific call from God. He was doing only what God called him to do. "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." Christ would certainly have more followers than John, for Christ was the Messiah. John was simply the messenger telling people about Christ. John the Baptist illustrated this fact in verse 29, where he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." A Jewish bridegroom had certain friends who represented him to the bride before the marriage, seeking to remove all obstacles and hasten the possibility of marriage. This was John's particular calling. The bridegroom is Christ, and the bride is the body of believers in Christ. John rejoiced to know that God's perfect plan was being fulfilled in that men and women were flocking to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist summarized his feeling about Christ's popularity with his notable words found in verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Should this not be the desire of every true believer? How important that our loved ones and friends see the Lord Jesus within us. If we are proud and haughty, this is impossible. But if we are yielded to our Lord's control, he will become preeminent. How we need to heed Peter's admonition, "Be clothed with humility." Only as we are filled with Christ can we be empty of self. John continued to speak of the superiority of Christ over frail, sinful humans. Verse 31, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." If we do not obey self, Christ will not be exalted. John also exalted Christ by referring to the message he proclaimed. Verse 32, "And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth." Here Christ is contrasted to ministers of the gospel who merely testify to that which they are taught by the Holy Spirit. Christ, on the other hand, had seen and heard of what he testified. It would seem that everyone would believe. But John declared, "And no man receiveth his testimony." The multitudes did not receive Christ's testimony. John 1:11 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But he continues to say, "But he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." All who believe on Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord acknowledge that what God has said about his Son is true. Verse 34 says, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God." All that he spoke was infallible. When Christ spoke, he spoke in the Spirit with no limits. "God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him," John tells us. Christ was one with the Spirit and the Father. The Trinity always spoke and worked in perfect harmony. "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." Thus John makes it clear that it is the purpose of God that people turn to Christ and believe on him. John is merely a voice calling the unconverted to repentance in Christ. In the last verse of the chapter, John the Baptist gives his final testimony for the Lord Jesus. He says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." With such a verse, no one need miss the point. How does one get everlasting life? "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life," present tense. Some think that believing is not enough. They feel they must do something in addition. But the Bible makes it clear that believing is all that one can do. Indeed it is. And if you haven't yet believed on Christ, I hope you will right now. God is ready. He sent His Son to die for you on the cross. Christ paid the entire price for your sins. He shed His blood every drop. And He paid that price that you could never pay. So I hope, friend, if you've never received Christ, that you do it right now as we pray together. Father God, open the eyes of some to the truth, I pray, that they may enter in to an everlasting relationship with Jesus Christ, your blessed Son. God, you have promised never to break this covenant. Once a person enters into it sincerely and honestly. And so this is our prayer today, that some will come. In the name of Jesus, amen.